إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. إن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وجل، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Death is the ultimate reality whereby no creature is safe from. As Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, verse 185, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. Every soul shall taste death, and only on the day of resurrection shall you be paid your wages in full. Whomsoever is removed from the hellfire and placed into paradise, admitted into paradise, he and only he is successful. And the life of this world is no more than the enjoyment of deception. And in Surah Qaf, verse 19, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَٰلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدُ. And the stupor of death will come in truth. And this is what we have been avoiding. Even the angel of death, who has been entrusted with the job of capturing the soul upon death, will die. As the Almighty Lord mentions in Surah Ar-Rahman, verse 27 and 26, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Everyone on this earth will perish, will go, but the face, the countenance of the Almighty, full of majesty and honor, will remain forever, will abide forever. Strong buildings, powerful towers, high rises, progress of science will never ever overcome death. As the Almighty Lord mentions in Surah An-Nisa, verse 78, أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة. Wherever you will be, wherever you are, death will reach you. Even if you were in fortresses, in places built high and strong. Death is a unique moment for the dying person, where all of a sudden he's alert, he's worried, he's eager, he's scared, he panics for his past life, wishing to remain alive, wishing to remain alive even for a minute to acquire that which he had lost and repent sincerely. and repent sincerely. As the Almighty Lord mentions in Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse 99-100, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ رِجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِيمَا تَرَكْتِ لَعَلِّي كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Until when death comes to one of them, he says, my Lord, please return me. Perhaps I may do good in that which I have left behind. Perhaps he may do good in that which he left behind. Never, Allah says. Nay, absolutely not. It is only a word that he utters. And behind them is a barzakh, the interspace, the life of the grave until the day they will be raised. Friends, family, loved ones, money, prestige, rank, all of this will be of no avail. As the Almighty Lord mentions in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, verse 83-87, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ فلولا إن كنتم غير مدينين ترجعونها إن كنتم صادقين. Then why do you not intervene? When the soul of the dying person reaches the throat, why do you not intervene? Try to help this person. When the soul of the person reaches the throat, and you at the moment are looking on at this person. But we, the Almighty Lord mentions, we, the angels of death, are closer to him than you, but you see not. Then why do you not? If you're exempt from the recompense, from the punishment, bring back the soul. Bring it back, if you are indeed truthful. And the Almighty Lord mentions in Surah Al-Jum'ah, verse number 8, قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Say, indeed, the death which you flee from, we flee from death. This is Allah's statement. The death from which you flee from will surely meet you. It's going to meet us. And thus, we will be returned to Allah, the knower of the unseen and the seen, and He, not you, He will inform you of what you did. Subhanallah. فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. You don't have to inform Him. He will inform you of what you did. Life and death has been created for a great purpose, a supreme wisdom. As the Almighty Lord mentions in Surah Al-Mulk, verse number 2, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The one who created death and life in order to see who is best indeed. What, you think you're going to be left like this? No, you are being judged. You are being looked at. You are being monitored from the day you were delivered onto the face of this earth. You are being looked at by the Almighty Lord. You are being judged. And He will inform you of what you did. He will see who is best of you indeed. And He put the best of you in the highest of paradise. We ask the Almighty Lord that we are placed in Al-Firdaws Al-A'la. Death, the creatures, is the end of being alive. It is the ending of all vital functions, the destruction of the body, the destruction, the spoil of all delights, all happiness on this earth. One thing that we are certain in this life of is that we are born to die. We are sure to die. Every single person will die. Every single creature, animate or inanimate, will die, will perish. this life is no more than a dream. A dream that passes as fast as a cloud. It is a mere hour of time that soon fades away. This life is a journey that has already started. But soon, wallahi, very soon, will come to an abrupt end. This life has beautified itself for those who seek its hand in marriage. It has beautified itself for those who seek its hand in marriage. It has become like a bride. You know how a bride beautifies itself? It has become like a bride, this life. Thus the eyes are staring on. The heart is directed to and the souls are dedicating their love to. How many a lover of this world has it destroyed? How many are those who rejoiced in this life but only to be deceived, betrayed soon after? The believer, therefore, looks at this life with the eye of truth, with the vision of light, with the vision of Iman, with the vision of hope in Allah's mercy. For its dwelling has many, many traps. Many, many traps. The believer is not busied with this life, nor deceived by long hopes. He knows this is all an examination. He feels sorry, seeing those who have been betrayed, deceived, spending all their life working extremely hard to hoard, to store worldly material. Futile material. Decorating, erecting, building, constructing buildings, palaces, mansions, homes, depending on no other than their illusions and imaginations, following those who are misguided or whom Allah's wrath has fallen upon. Wallahi, being misled by their surrender to the devils of human and jinn. This is the reality. But the believer, the faithful one, he opens his eyes and looks at this life with the eye of truth. With the eye of truth. He knows that this whole life, all these things, all these traps, are, as the Almighty Lord mentions in Surah Ali Imran, mata'ul ghurur, the deception or the enjoyment of deception. The enjoyment of deception. He knows that such things will lead him, will cause him at a time of death to be in a state of grief, regret, resentment, desperation, deprivation, and remorse. Thus, he prepares himself. He works hard. He prepares himself day and night. This is the believer. Day and night preparing himself with his utmost ability in collecting, in gathering the righteous deeds. And by evading, avoiding, abandoning sin. He works his life on this base. He reads the sayings of his pious predecessors, rahmatullah alayhim jami'an. Al-Qa'qa ibn Hakim mentions, rahmatullah alayhi, I have been preparing for death for 30 years. He is, subhanAllah, 30 years. He continues the saying, therefore, if death comes, I shall not hasten or delay doing anything. I'm ready. Yeah, Rab, I'm ready. Take me. Have we prepared ourselves? 30 years of our life, if we've lived it? Have we prepared 30 of our years in this life for death? Have we prepared 1 month for death? No, we haven't. Hassan al-Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, mentions a pious predecessor. Those who came before you considered the nearness of death. They would take water with them wherever they went, always carrying water in case they lost their wudu. They would perform wudu, fearing that Allah's command might hit them. And what's Allah's command? Death. While on a state of not being on wudu, they will always remain in the state of wudu, fearing that they will die at any instant. Al-Hasan al-Basri also was asked, Ya Abu Sa'id, Ya Aba Sa'id, Ya Aba Sa'id, we sit with people who bring fear to our hearts, so much so that our hearts are about to fly in fright. They sit with people who scare them by mentioning death, by mentioning hellfire, by mentioning the punishment of the grave. So they get so scared that their heart is about to fly in fright. They said, what shall we do? He said to them, this great man, it is better for you to associate yourself with such people in order to gain safety from Allah's tormentation than to associate yourself with people who make you feel safe from Allah's punishment. And look at today. Who do we associate with? Who are we mixing with? Who are we intermingling with? No other than the people of worldly material. No other than people who talk about buildings and constructions and this and that. Not a word about death. Not a word about the hereafter. Not a word about Islam. No, I'm building a mansion. I'm building 6 units. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And he becomes more of pride and arrogance and he feels high. You should not associate with these people. Take this advice of Al-Hasan al-Basri. He said to them, it is better for you to associate with people who make you feel scared in order to gain safety from this punishment of Allah Ta'ala, than to associate with people who bring calmness, comfort, tranquility to your heart by making you forget the hereafter. Harith ibn Idris asked Abu Dhatta'i, two pious predecessors, rahimuhum Allahu jami'a, advise me. He replied, let death be your slogan. In another narration, he said, know that the soldiers of death are in wait for you. SubhanAllah, what kind of advice is this? In ego today, and seeks advice from someone, he will say, oh, don't forget to mention that in the quote. Do not forget, you're going to lose $2. This advice was what? Know that the soldiers of death are in wait for you. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Salam ibn Asham mentioned, let death be your motto. Let death be your slogan. Let it be embroidered in front of you day and night. Death, death, death. In other words, whatever you do, before you confront anything, make sure, is this going to benefit me when I die? Is it going to be for or against me when I die? Always before your eyes, place the word, the 5-letter word, D-E-A-T-H, or the 3-letter word, Mim Waw Te Maut. Always confront yourself with this. Before you do anything, is this going to benefit me when I die? If it is, alhamdulillah, I accept it. If it does not, I throw it away. Because on the day of judgment, when you're in the grave, when you die, it's going to harm you. That deed will harm you, and you do not want this. You do not want this. You do not need this. You need luxury comfort when you die. And this action, if it's against Allah's pleasure, throw it away. You do not need it. If someone wants to say to you now, there is an enemy outside, waiting to attack you at any moment, what would you do? You will stand up, prepare yourself, get your ammunition, prepare your clothes. Look, you'll be alert, you'll be alarmed. You await his surprise, attack. This is life and death. This is life and death. What have we prepared for its surprise attack? What have we prepared for it? It's going to attack us at any moment. Death is confronting us every single day, in every single area. Wallahi, it's like a man who has stretched forth his neck. He stretched it like this, with a sword held like this above it. This is death. This is how death is. It's like a man who has stretched forth his neck with a sword held above it, waiting for the command to slice, to cut, to chop that head off. This is death. And we are witnessing this every day. We are witnessing this sword every single day. Friends, loved ones, severing their ties from this life. Every single day. We must awaken from our sleep, be alert from our slumber, before it's proclaimed, before it's shouted, so-and-so is ill, so-and-so is ill, and that so-and-so is you. They will cry out, they will proclaim in public, his tongue has become heavy, his forehead has become sweaty, and the angel of death is indeed ready. Imagine yourself at the time of death. Imagine yourself at the time of death. Can you imagine? You're going to have to imagine it because you're going to be there. We're all going to be there. Subhanallah. Yet today we feel comfort. We feel tranquility. We feel relaxed because we are among each other. But on that day, this will all vanish. Wallahi, it will all vanish. This will all vanish. Imagine yourself at the time of death. What thoughts cross your mind? Memories of family and friends, panic, regret. It's all happened at the time of death. Did you feel it? The ineffable feeling of crossing the boundary from one world to another. What is life in the hereafter like? You'll be feeling this before your soul is taken. What is life in the hereafter like? The darkness of the grave, the horror of the day of judgment, the recompense of stringency, the thinness of the sirat. Those who used to visit you ceased to visit you. Those who envied you put at rest their enviousness. Khalas, you're finished, you're gone. Your family pay attention not to you anymore, but to your wealth. People staring at you when you're dying, when you're experiencing the agonies of death. Your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter, your niece, your nephew, your auntie, your uncle, your husband, your wife, all looking at you, staring at you, but they cannot do anything. Nothing. No matter what they do, how they do it, whom they get, they cannot do anything. As the Almighty Lord mentions in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Then why do you not intervene? This is talking to the people who are looking over the dead person, the dying person. Why do you not intervene when the soul of the dying person reaches the throat? You are looking at this person and you at the moment are looking on. But we, Allah says, the angels of death are nearer to him than you, but you see not. Subhanallah. يعني واو, this person is experiencing the agonies of death. Your family is over you, almost touching you, yet the angels of death is closer than they are. Closer than they are, but they cannot do anything. They cannot help you in any way. They don't know what is happening to you. They can't see what you're seeing. They cannot experience what you're experiencing, because this now to this person is the knowledge of the unseen. The knowledge of the unseen here is hitting him directly. We know the story of the Afghanistanian brother, the Mujahid. When he was in Afghanistan fighting the infidels of Russia, the Russian infidels, when him and the Mujahideen brothers were advancing towards the enemy, he stepped on a landmine, blowing half of his body. Half of his body was blown off, yet he was still in a state of consciousness. He was looking up towards the heavens, and the Mujahideen around him, looking at him in a state of shock. Half his body is just standing there, on the ground. And he was saying, subhanAllah, it's authentic news. He was saying, look, look, do you see them? Look how beautiful they are. They say, what are you talking about? He says, look, look, how they're nice, they're beautiful. He told them. وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. But you see not, Allah says. But you see not. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Those who said, my Lord, our Lord is Allah. And then they became upright Muslims by fulfilling their duties towards Allah Ta'ala. On them descend the angels at the time of death, saying to them, grieve not, nor fear, but receive the glad tidings of paradise, which you have been promised. Which you have been promised. We, the angels, as mentioned, have been your friends in the life of this world, and we are so in the hereafter. Your friends come down and support you and relieve you, saying, do not be scared. What are you scared of? Because, you know, naturally at the time of death, the soul will be in a state of fear, scared, worried, not knowing what's going to happen to it. So Allah Ta'ala relieves this believing servant by sending down onto him a beautiful angels with beautiful appearance. And one of the things that facilitate the person, the believer at the time of death, is seeing the angels in good appearance, informing him of Allah's acceptance, forgiveness, subhanAllah. But we see not. But we see not. Jinni, the angel comes down and says to this believing soul, what are you scared of? Why are you scared? You are a believer. Do not be scared of the hereafter, the future in the grave, the darkness of the grave, or the horror of the day of resurrection. It is not for you. You are a believer, he will say to him. You are a Muslim. You submitted to Allah Ta'ala. You are a believer. You heard wa aqimus salat, and established prayer. So you prostrated in humbleness, humility, and full submission to the one that created your forehead. You heard the call of wa atuz zakat. You straight away went home. Have I got money? Am I obliged to give zakat, derive zakat from my money? And you straight away gave it. You heard the call wa sumu Ramadan, and you immediately fasted Ramadan. And you as well fasted every day of your life by abstaining from obscenity and indecency. You heard the call, wa hijjul bayt, and perform pilgrimage. No matter how old you are, not when you reach 100 years old, or 80 years old, or 70 years old. As soon as you had the capability financially and physically, you rushed to the sacred house of the Almighty Lord and you performed hajj. How can a person like that be affected at the time of death? Never. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. Receive the glad tidings of paradise which you have been promised.
Death is the door, brothers and sisters, through which all must pass through. However, the dwelling behind that door cannot be known, cannot be understood, only through divine revelation. It can never be described in words, nor imagined in the mind. We can only explain or understand it through divine revelation. The believer, his ultimate hope and greatest wish is to open the door of death, finding behind it eternal bliss, eternal happiness, our Lord who is pleased with him, our Lord who is happy to meet him, our Lord who is not angry with him, our Lord that cannot to wait to see him. This is his greatest wish. This is his ultimate hope. And naturally man likes to open the door to what? To comfort, to excitement, to enjoyment, to tranquility. This is why he works extremely hard in this life to have the best house. When you go home, you open the door. What do you like to find behind that door? Nice lounge, air conditioning, nice soft carpet, beautiful appearance. When you open the car to your door, what would you like to find? Likewise, air conditioning, a comfortable leather chair, full option, luxury. Likewise, the believer. Is it not? The believer works extremely hard. This is why they work extremely hard, to achieve such assets. But the believer works extremely hard to also achieve such beauty, to achieve ultimate happiness, to achieve Allah's acceptance, to open the door of death, finding behind it opulence, smoothness, comfortableness, beautifulness, pleasantness, to find behind it a life free from distress, a life free from distress. And this is mentioned in a beautiful narration which was collected by Abu Dawood, Ahmad and others on the authority of Al-Bura ibn Azib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum accompanied Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to a funeral of a man from among the Ansar. When they reached the location of the grave, they found it not yet dug. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat around the grave, sat down facing the Qibla. The companions sat around their beloved leader sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, quietly, extremely quiet, so quiet as if afraid to disturb birds standing on their heads. Look at us today. How many of us, while listening to a lecture, you're speaking on the mobile phone, or you're talking to your mate, or you're mocking, or joking, or laughing? This is absolute disrespect. It cannot be on. You are not disrespecting the sheikh or the teacher, but Islam. What the sheikh is talking or saying. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down facing the Qibla. The companions sat around him, quietly, as if afraid to disturb birds standing on their heads. He had a stick in his hand with which he moved the earth. He raised his eyes to the sky and lowered it back to the earth, raised it, lowered it, raised it, lowered it 3 times. And then he said to his companions, seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the grave. Seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the grave. Seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the grave. And then he himself said, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave. And then he said, when the believing abd, slave, is at the point of departure from this worldly life and about to enter the next world, the next life, angels descend from the heavens. Angels with white, bright faces like the sun. They sit away from this person at the limit of his eyesight. With them they carry a shroud from the clothes of paradise, and embalmment from the fragrance of paradise. And then descends the angel of death. What's it called? Malakul Maut. What's it called? The angel of death. It is not called Israel. It is not called anything else but the angel of death. Malakul Maut. Israel came in an unauthentic narration, a weak narration. The angel of death descends, sits by this believing soul next to his head, and then says to this servant, "O good and peaceful soul, depart to Allah's forgiveness. Depart to Allah's pleasure. Depart to a Lord who is not angry with you. Depart to a Lord who is waiting to meet you." Upon hearing this, what better words can you hear at a time of death? Is there anything better than this? These are the best words that you ever, ever hear on the face of this earth, because you are still on the face of this earth. Depart to Allah's forgiveness, pleasure. Depart to a Lord who is not angry with you. So upon hearing this, the angel, the soul, the believing soul, packs his bag straight away. Yalla, let's get going. Cannot wait to leave. He's happy to leave. He's content. He's happy. He comes out from the body so easily as water drops flow from the spout of a water skin. Easy, easy. And then as soon as the soul comes out, the believing soul, all the angels between the heavens and the earth, all the angels in the heavens pronounce forgiveness, salat, for this soul. All the gates of heavens are open for this soul. All the guardians of each gate beg, request, implore their Lord that this soul ascends in their direction. They want to see it. And thus the angel of death takes it. But as soon as the angel of death takes hold of this believing soul, the other angels do not leave it in his hands, not for as little as the blinking of an eye. They take it from the angel of death, the soldiers of death, and place it in the shroud and embalmment. And there emanates, derives, sends out, extracts from it the best smelling scent of musk ever to be smelt on the face of this earth. And we know the narration of that young child who was brought up on La ilaha illallah. When he died, the story cut short, at the age of a baby age, 12 years old, he was a believing child who memorized the Quran, memorized the books of hadith. At that young age, he done nothing but go to the mosque and pray, memorize, pray, memorize. That was his life. To the age of 12, Allah took his soul away. So his uncle said, "I will leave him in the room and bury him the next day because there are more people praying on the Friday prayer." So throughout that night, in the midst of the night, someone knocked on the door of his uncle's house where the young lad, the dead person, the deceased, was laying in one of the rooms. He opened the door. Late at night, he saw a whole group of women wearing black from top to bottom. You cannot see anything. From top to bottom, they were in black clothes. He said, "Who are you?" He said, "Ya Shaykh." They said, "Ya Shaykh, where is the young man?" "The young man? He's waiting to be prayed on and buried." He goes, hurry up with this lad. We are the women of paradise waiting for him. Allahu Akbar. We want this lad, this righteous child. We are his women in paradise. And then they left. They disappeared. He went into that room. He said that he smelt the best smelling scent of musk, and that remained for months in that room. That remained for months. So there emanates from the soul the best scent, smelling scent of musk ever to be smelt on the face of this earth. Then the angels who are holding the soul take it, ascend with it to the heavens. And as they pass throughout the heavens, other gatherings of angels, they pass. They ask, "Who is this soul?
This beautiful smell, who is it?
The ones holding the soul reply, he is so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, using the best names with which he was addressed, used in the life of this world.
Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman, Abdurraqib ibn Abdul Qayyum. Beautiful names. This is why we are advised to name our children names that Allah Ta'ala love. The slave of such and such. And then the angels, they want to fill up this slave, this believing servant. They want to fill him. They want to fill his soul. So they pass it on to each other, smelling, holding, touching it. And then this soul reaches the lowest heaven, the gate, seeking permission to enter. And the guardian of that heaven says, "Welcome, O good soul, who inhabited the good body. Welcome in a praise state. Enter the gardens of delight. Enter the sweet aromas and a Lord who is not angry with you." And thus, this happens throughout every single heaven. And the most elite angels of each heaven escort this believing soul until they reach the seventh heaven. And above the seventh heaven is whom? The throne of the Almighty Lord. The throne of Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir. The throne of Allah, Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari', Al-Musawwir. Allahu Akbar. The throne of the most gracious, most merciful, the all-powerful. The sovereign, the master of the day of judgment. And then he himself says, subhanallah, register my believing servant, scribe in Al-Illiyin. And what is Al-Illiyin? It is the highest of registers. It is the highest of positions. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُّونَ كِتَابٌ مَرْكُومٌ يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. And what would make you know what Al-Illiyun is? It is an inscribed register witnessed by those who are nearest to Allah from among the angels. And thus, this servant, this believing soul, is registered in that inscription, in that book. And then Allah Ta'ala says, return, my believing servant. Return him back to this earth, back to the earth, for this I have commanded and promised them. مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. From it we created you, this earth, and to it we will return you, and from it once again we will raise you. And thus the soul is taken down to the grave where the body is about to be buried and reunites with the body. And by now the body would have been washed, perfumed, shrouded, and is being carried to the grave. And the soul is descending. While the body is being carried, the believing soul says what? As he's being carried, present me quickly, present me quickly. As the narration mentions that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hurry up with the dead, for if it is a righteous slave, you are presenting it to its welfare. And if it is otherwise, it is evil that you are taking off your necks. And another narration mentions, the believing soul says, present me quickly. And this believing soul mentions, woe to me, where are they taking me? Woe to me, where are they taking me? Heard by all creatures except man and jinn. And thus the soul is reunited with the body. The grave now has been dug. The body is in there. The soul comes back down. And when the soul, the body, the believer, listens or hears the thumping of his companion's shoes leaving the grave, two angels then appear. Only after this time, two angels appear, two blue, black angels, with a stern appearance and a severe reprimand, to angels named Munkar wa Nakir. They appear, they shake the body, they sit it upright, and this believing servant, he will be not in a state of fear or terror. He will not be in a state of fear or terror, but the angels must question him. And wallahi, brothers and sisters, this is the examination. This is the ultimate test. This is the ultimate trial and the last trial he will ever be subjected to. This is the main questioning. After this, it's no other than comfort
luxury and peace. And here we must understand that these questions are very easy, very basic. It's not hard to answer as we believe today. But Allah tells us what? يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah keeps only the believers firm with the correct firm words in the life of this world and in the next, which is the grave. So the angels sit him upright without any fear or terror, and they'll ask him, who is your Lord? مَنْ رَبُّكَ. It's an easy question, isn't it? It's an easy question. You think it's an easy answer. But if you did not know your Lord in this life, you will not be able to answer it. You know, in this life we say, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. But did we make Allah the greatest? Did we pray on time and make Him the greatest? Did we worship Allah Ta'ala and make Him the greatest? Better than our father, our mother, our foreman, our boss, our husband or wife? Did we make Him the greatest? If you made Him the greatest, wallahi, you're going to answer the question very easily. Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah. What is your religion? Ma huwa dinuk? If you fully submitted, a simple question. But if you fully and only fully submitted, if you invited Islam into your house and embraced it with acceptance, with application, with love, with devotion, motivation, being a devout worshipper towards this path of Allah Ta'ala, then it's not hard for you to say, Deen al-Islam. My religion is Islam. Beautiful. Man alladhi bu'itha fikum. Who was the man that was sent among you? It's not hard to answer, is it? But wallahi, it will be very, very, very difficult for the person who did not make Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam their leader. Who did not make Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam their madhab. If you follow Abu Hanifa, or Malik, or Ahmad, or Shafi'i, you're going to say instead, Shafi'i. Muhammad ibn Idris is Shafi'i. Or Nu'man ibn Thabit, Abu Hanifa. Or Malik ibn Anas, or Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal. If you gave them priority over Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not going to be able to say Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the believer, the one that loved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more than he loved his own self, who followed him inwardly, outwardly, who implemented his directives, who revived his sunnah, who fought and struggled with his hand and tongue and heart in his cause, he will say, Nabi Muhammadun ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib, Rasulullah, Nabiullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The angels will ask him, how did you know this? He will say, I read Allah's book, I believed in Allah's book, and I obeyed Allah's book. Not by just reading it, kissing it, and placing it as an adornment on the wall. No. I read Allah's book. I believed in Allah's book. And I applied, obeyed Allah's book. And then the results are announced from where? The test results. You know, you think it's such a simple test. But this is the biggest test that you'll ever confront. Brothers and sisters, this is the test. You know, we work extremely hard day and night in university to get a degree, to pass the exams, to pass the HSC, the school certificate, to become professors, to pass our thesis. But we don't even think of passing this test. The three simple questions, but how can we pass this test? It's not by memorizing, as we do in university. Memorize, just memorize, and you answer. It's all memorization. The next day, you don't know anything. Or in the HSC, likewise, or in any other institution, educational institution. This is not like this. You cannot memorize these three questions and thus memorize the answers and say, Alhamdulillah, I'm going to keep refreshing my memory because I know the answers. I know the questions. Alhamdulillah, I'll be right. No. The memorization and the answering here is in your belief and your actions explicitly and implicitly, outwardly and inwardly, externally and internally. You must accept with your limbs by acting, and you must believe by your heart. This is the belief, and this is the way you can memorize, and you can answer, and you can revise. You can revise for this test by action, by belief. This is the only way you can answer this test, these questions. And then the call from the heavens, the test results are announced. A caller from the heavens announces the results. My slave has spoken the truth. Allah Ta'ala will call out, my servant has spoken the truth. So provide for him, furnish him from paradise. Clothe him from paradise and open for him a door to paradise. Eternal happiness, eternal abode, eternal bliss, opulence, comfortableness, beautifulness, everythingness in there. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Because you deserve it. You worshipped Allah. You loved Allah. You applied Allah's law. You deserve it. Do we not deserve it? What are we doing here tonight? Are we here for a joke? Just look at each other and laugh? No. We want Allah's mercy. We desire Allah's love. We desire Allah's meeting. And we ask the Almighty Lord that He likewise desires our meeting. This is our aim here, brothers and sisters. We want Allah's mercy. We want Allah's love. Allah's protection. We want Allah Ta'ala to bestow His mercy and extend that grave to the extent of our eyes, illuminate it and fill it with greenery. And this is what happens to the believing servant. And then appears before him what? A good man. A man appears before this servant with a pleasant face, good clothes, nice garments, a nice smell. He says to this believing servant, I am here to give you glad tidings, which will please you. Tidings of Allah's acceptance, gardens of everlasting bliss. And this is what you have been promised. Brothers and sisters, we are promised this. We are promised this. But don't forget, we have to fulfill this. The promise of Allah Ta'ala is for His believers. Never ever forget. Allah Ta'ala will never ever be injustice to His believer. Never. He has promised us this and He will give us this as long as we are sincere. So He will say, this is what you have been promised. He will say, the believing servant, who are you? Your face is one that brings goodness. He will say, I am your good deeds. I am your prayer, your fasting, your zakat, your psalm. I am your dhikr. I am the prayers that you stood up at late night, praying, standing up, your feet cracked. I am these good deeds of yours. He will say, I am your good deeds. SubhanAllah, brothers and sisters. Whenever you perform a good deed, remember this. The good deed will be in the image of a man. Your good deed on the day of resurrection, in the grave, it will come in the image of a man. I am your good deeds. Never ever be neglectful. Never ever be reluctant, hesitant when it comes to righteousness. Confront, approach, and apply. Because you are going to find this. Why are we so heedful? And we always want only in this world. We work hard to achieve the best of this world. Why do we not work hard and achieve the best of the hereafter? Why do we not work and achieve eternal luxurious, not trivial, futile material of this world? For only a mere little time that is not even yours. And then a door to paradise is opened for this believing servant. And a door to hellfire is opened as well. And he sees the fire crushing each other, crushing. Extremely scary. And it will be said to him, this would have been your abode had you disobeyed Allah Ta'ala. But Allah has substituted you with this, the door to paradise, for your obedience. And thus, he sees bounties, beautiful smells, greenery, bliss, blessings. And when he sees that which awaits him of bounties, what does he say? Ya Allah, speed up the arrival of the hour. Ya Allah, speed up the arrival of the hour. This is the believing servant. We ask the Almighty Lord, the one that created the heavens and the earth, the one who established his throne in a way that suits his majesty, to have mercy on us and make us among those who answer these questions easily, among those whose souls leave their bodies at the time of death as easily as water flows, drops flow from the spout of a water skin. We ask the Almighty Lord to see the angels in good appearance, beautiful appearance, informing us of Allah's forgiveness, informing us of Allah's pleasure, informing us that Allah wants to meet us. We ask the Almighty Lord to place us in the highest of paradise, the Firdaus al-A'la. This is the believing servant. Next week, inshaAllah ta'ala, we'll continue this narration with the disbelieving servant. نصر الله العافية وأبعدنا الله من ذلك وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.